Welcome, MCU fans, to True Believers, the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Here on True Believers, we will discuss the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well as the related television and streaming shows on Disney+. We will also look at the connections that exist to the original Marvel comics and how they relate to the past, current, and future of the MCU. Of course, as always, massive, mighty Marvel spoiler warnings ahead as we're going to be covering the latest episode of What If and then going into massive spoilers and reactions to the show. Of course, I can't dive into alternate timelines alone. Kevin, I really appreciate you saving me in that Afghan desert last night. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome very much, Carl. Hope you don't mind, but I'm going to be doing this podcast in my Gundam suit.
Well, I'm the anime fan.
I don't care. I think a Gundam suit's pretty cool.
I thought it was just because it was your birthday, your voice changed.
No, I'm in a Gundam suit.
Okay. But I have all the vibranium, so I don't know what you're going Yes, we will be talking about episode 6 of What If. What if Killmonger rescued Tony Stark on this episode? And of course, joining me as always, my co-founder here on the Fandom Podcast Network and my co-host for True Believers, one Mr. Kevin Killmonger Reitzel.
There you go. Yeah, interesting episode. We'll get into that. I'm kind of getting a feeling from fans that these have become hit or miss.
I've kind of been getting that. I want to talk about that a little later. But you know, your name is Killmonger Reitzel, but you're missing a lot of scars. So I don't. Was that more of how many times you were killed on Call of Duty against the 5-year-olds?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, we have been busy here around True Believers. We aren't just covering What If. We have our Shang-Chi reaction show out there as well. Well, Kevin, we were joined by your Blood of Kings co-host, Lee Fillingsness, for that episode.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I've seen it twice. How many times have you seen it?
I've only had a chance to go to the theater once. I've been working with the extension deadlines coming up for work. I just got
no excuse. Bad nerd. Sorry. No excuse.
I'm going to a toy convention this weekend. I get extra bonus points for that. So,
yeah, check that out if you because there's still some people that are still watching that movie, haven't seen it yet. Just, you know. And so if you're waiting to listen to that, I understand. But please check it out. We had a lot of fun with Lee discussing Shang-Chi. And also the awesome martial arts in that film.
And two, I have been working down in the editing danger room, Kevin, getting the first episode of our big True Believers upcoming project ready to go.
Yes, we are doing an chronological MCU rewatch, otherwise known as the Infinity Saga timeline. Not doing the theatrical releases, we're doing the timeline one, and we wanted to kind of fit these in where there's lulls of no Disney Plus series or no movies to talk about. And so we are going to be starting, of course, with the timeline that would be Captain America, the First Avenger. We recorded that with our good friend Drew Kaplan, and that will be coming out in October.
Yes, looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, there's other great things going on with True Believers. Visit our amazing Facebook group. We do a great job there trying to keep you updated on what's going on with the MCU. We do a lot of fun things there, so go check that out. Kevin, but I want to get into it because I am legitimately excited. We got some major Marvel news, so it's time to get our snit, our thwipped, and our kapow on with some Marvel news. And we had a big one this week, Kevin. The Disney Plus Hawkeye trailer dropped, and
No. The Disney Plus Hawkeye holiday trailer came out.
Well, I was going to say it is the most wonderful time of year.
It is.
I absolutely love this trailer. I cannot wait for this. Obviously, Haley looks phenomenal as Kate Bishop, but I think we're going to get a Jeremy Renner we haven't seen. In a version of Hawkeye we haven't really been able to see performed. And Kevin, are you familiar at all with the movie Tag?
Very familiar with the movie Tag. I love that movie.
I think that version of Jeremy Renner that we got in Tag is going to be the Hawkeye we're finally going to get in the MCU, because how he was in Tag has always felt like that's the closest to actually Hawkeye from the comics in the MCU.
For those of you that don't know what Tag is, it was a movie that came out a couple of years ago based on a true story about these guys who were best friends, and they played this game of tag, adult tag, for like over years and years and years. And they made a movie out of it. Ed Helms was in it as well. And it's a very funny movie. And Jeremy Renner plays like the championship tag guy, the guy that just excelled at it. It was very hard to tag. And Jeremy Renner pulled off some Hawkeye type moves in that movie, which we thought was funny. I'm excited about this series even more now. I love that trailer. It was great to see Hailee Steinfeld in action. I'm curious where, if the rumors are true about Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin being in there, how Yelena is going to pop in there. Going to be very, very interesting. And I just want to give a shout out to a movie that, if you like myself, are a big fan of Hailee Steinfeld, who first hit the big screen and I think got nominated for her role with Jeff Bridges in the movie True Grit. Yeah, where she was great. She hired him to help find these killers, a remake from the John Wayne film. And she was great in that. And she's been in a lot of really cool stuff. She's also a successful singer as well. But one of the things, of course, I love her in the singing movies. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. First,
Pitch Perfect
movie. She's really good.
She was only, she started in the second one, right? She didn't come into that until the second one.
She started in the second and then the third one.
And there's a film I really like her in too, and that's The Edge of 17.
Yes, kind of a dramatic side there that she co-stars with Woody Harrelson. Really, really good. But my favorite film is Barely Lethal. If you want to see her have some action, Barely Lethal is directed by Kyle Newman, who was the director of the movie Fanboys. And she stars as a teenage secret agent slash assassin. And she starts to grow tired of that life. And she realizes on a mission that she is missing her teenage years. So she fakes her own death and tries to become a regular teenager by pretending to be a exchange student from Canada in the United States. And it co-stars Jessica Alba and Samuel Jackson. And Sophie Turner, Dove Cameron in it. And it's very, very funny. There's some fun action in it as well. And I highly, highly recommend it, especially if you want to see Hailee Steinfeld do some action, have some fun, and be funny and stuff like that. So check it out.
Kevin, I want to say this too with this Hawkeye trailer. What I'm really looking forward to this and what this trailer brought to me. One, I would love to get the trailer poster that they've been showing on social media. That just seems fun. But you know what this movie, this Disney Plus show has that I don't think we've seen from Marvel since maybe the last Spider-Man movie? It's going to be fun. It just looks like it's going to be pure fun and entertainment. You had some of that with Shang-Chi, but I think with this one, you're especially considering when you compare it to the other Disney Plus shows, it doesn't feel like it's going to be super heavy, at least from this trailer. I mean, it just seems like they're going to be playing up to having some fun in the MCU, and I'm really excited about that.
A couple of questions come to mind I wanted to ask you. First of all, where do you think it takes place in the timeline compared to the other Disney Plus shows that we've seen this year? And also, like, how deep into the MCU will this affect other stuff? Like, you know, Loki has made major effects, obviously, as well as the other series that we have. So what do you think? Where does it take place? And what type of do you think it'll have a large effect or just be kind of a fun romp?
I think it's going to take place after, at least after Falcon Winter Soldier, within the timeline, because with Yelena being in it and some things like that, I think it's going to have a lot of lasting effects on what we
because of the scene at the end of Black Widow with Val meeting Yelena later on.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
That makes sense. Yep. I think it's going to have some major effects on that street level aspect of the MCU that they've been kind of developing, the stuff that's happening, Falcon and Winter Soldier, and in that kind of role. Because I think that's one of the things I'm noticing with the MCU is that they're starting to kind of do a little separation between like cosmic mystical things and maybe like some of their more street level characters. And I'm all for that. I think that's a really good idea. So I'm curious to see where this is going to go. Obviously, the Kate Bishop character is a huge connection to Young Avengers, which, let's be honest, they've been dropping the setups for that through all of these shows over the last
Okay, so question about that real quick. We've been talking about this because of, I think we started talking about this beginning with Wanda because of her kids.
Exactly.
Obviously, the Teen Avengers have, in the comics, there's a certain leader of those. Who would that have been?
It kind of falls, this is where it gets interesting. In the original introduction to it, there was a character named Iron Lad, which was a version of Kang that was good.
Okay.
And so he's the one who kind of formed, he traveled back in time to prevent himself, trying to prevent himself from turning evil. And he formed the Young Avengers with Tommy and Billy, Wanda's children, with Eli, Isaiah's grandson from Falcon Winter Soldier, and then the Kate Bishop character as well. So
the question is to you, Kyle, who do you see becoming the leader of these Teen Avengers in the MCU?
And well, in the MCU, this is where it gets interesting because it's kind of a co-leader thing with the Eli character and with the Kate Bishop character from Hawkeye.
Okay.
Now, I want to throw this out to the listeners who maybe, you know, they don't pick up the comics or they're kind of wondering. A lot, I think, of this Hawkeye show, some of the elements are going to come from a run of a Hawkeye series that was done a few years back by the writer Matt Fraction. And I think they're pulling, from everything I'm hearing, they're pulling a lot of ideas from that as well. And that was a very popular run on Hawkeye. So if you can find that, whether you use the Marvel Unlimited app or maybe go pick up some graphic novels at your local comic book store, it might be worth a checkout. But Kevin, I really think this is going to be a lot of fun. You know, I've actually been psyched for this for a while before they even announced Florence Pugh was going to be a part of this show. And when they got that revelation at the end of Black Widow, I'm all in for this show. I'm very excited. And the fact, I love the fact it's going to be a holiday based kind of show and make that add a little something fun in that aspect as well.
What I like about this too is Jeremy Renner's finally getting his due with the main Avengers from the Avenger film. We're all getting their own movies, their own projects. And I love that.
Yeah, I'm very excited for Hawkeye. We're going to see this in November. I think it's premieres like Thanksgiving weekend, maybe.
The 24th. Yeah.
4th. Of course, you know, we'll have had Eternals a couple of weeks before that. So who knows what we're going to be dealing with from Eternals revelations, because I think there's going to be some in that. But very excited for Hawkeye. But Kevin, we are here to discuss What If, and we have the latest episode out. And this is, I'm going to be honest with you, this is one of the more, I'm not sure I've got a feel for this episode of What If. And the episode is, what if Tony Killmonger had saved Tony Stark? And this might be outside of maybe the T'Challa. What if T'Challa had become Star-Lord? This feels like the most original, not really just off the wall What If we've had. So Kevin, I think it's time we get into the episode. But of course, this is True Believers and we have a certain way we do things around here.
Yeah, we're talking Marvel and the MCU, so we don't do segments on this podcast. We do phases. Phase one will be our plot description and first reactions on the episode, and we're also going to discuss the cast. Now, phase two is normally trivia on the episode, but there wasn't really a lot of trivia on this. I'll be honest with you, not much at all. So instead, I've got a review we're going to discuss about the episode for phase two. And then phase three is where we dive deep in the plot analysis, really kind of talk about the episode and any ties to the MCU and or the comics. And then we'll close out with our final thoughts and contact information. So let's get into phase one and let's do the plot description. In Afghanistan, Tony Stark's military convoy is ambushed by the Ten Rings, but he is saved by Eric Killmonger Stevens. Returning to Stark Industries with Stark, Killmonger exposes Obadiah Stane's involvement in the ambush before helping Stark build a humanoid combat drone using vibranium. Needing more to create a drone army, they arrange for James Rhodes to purchase it from Ulysses Klaue. At Killmonger's behest, Klaue leaks the word of the transaction to Wakanda to lure in T'Challa. Killmonger kills T'Challa and Rhodes and frames Rhodes for T'Challa's death. Stark confronts him, but Killmonger kills Stark and stages it as a Wakanda attack before killing Klaue and reuniting with his estranged family in Wakanda. Thaddeus Ross sends a completed army of attack to attack Wakanda in retaliation for the murder of Rhodes and Stark, but Killmonger leads Wakandans in successfully defeating them. In the aftermath, Killmonger ingests the heart-shaped herb, becoming the new Black Panther. As the United States prepares to eradicate Wakanda, T'Challa's sister, Shuri, visits Pepper Potts and informs her of Killmonger's deception before proposing that they work together to expose the truth. Interesting, Kyle. We kind of talked about it. This is a very unique story that I think doesn't really stem much from the comics. But we'll get into that in a minute, though. But what I wanted to ask you was, did it feel weird to you at all? Like, it seems like, and I want to ask you, when you would read those old comics, those What If comics, were there some episodes you were just kind of going, WTF, like this episode kind of?
There's many of the issues. There's issues of What If that you read and you just kind of go, okay, that was there. And that's how I was kind of with this episode. And there's a few reasons why I think that. One, I think I'm going to be straight up honest with you. I'm going to go to the acting. Whoever was the actor who was voicing Tony Stark, and I get it. You can't fill Robert Downey Jr.'s shoes, but he just felt off. His voice felt off, and it really took me out of those.
I was going to wait till later to talk about this, but his voice was totally wrong. He got the humor felt like Stark. It was written as Stark, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to bash the writing. The writing I thought was good, as in Tony Stark. Whoever voiced him, what is his name? Mick Wingert. Wrong guy to do it. Or he should have really spent a little more time trying to sound like Tony Stark. It just felt weird.
I think the other thing is, too, having it be Killmonger at the beginning, out of nowhere, saving Tony Stark, and just how it went. This episode just felt off a beat the whole time. And I think the other thing with it is, too, is how it ended, Kevin. It ends on basically a cliffhanger, which more of a cliffhanger than any of the other What Ifs, in my opinion. Because this actually felt like a cliffhanger to where it's like, we don't really know what's going to happen here. And they could easily come back to this in another season of What If. You know, we talked about like the zombie episode last week with Thanos. We can see where that's just going to go bad. There's just...
Right.
You know, or even how Doctor Strange episode ended. But this is the first episode of What If that I truly felt nothing afterwards. It was like, okay, it was an episode. Even with the Doctor Strange episode, yes, it was dark. But I felt like, okay, they tried something bold here. It was not for everybody, but you know what? I give them credit. And Benedict Cumberbatch's performance, and that was so outstanding. But this is the first episode of What If that I ended. I have a few thoughts on that I explained, but there's a couple other things
I know the reason. I think I know the reason.
Okay.
So Killmonger does this thing in Black Panther and, you know, he gets his revenge and, you know, gets the power and then he gets dethroned and blah, blah, blah. He was a great villain, charismatic, not very likable, but watchable and acted very, very well. You're not rooting for him after you start realizing what he's doing, because this episode is a what if, meaning that if his character would have changed and done something for the better and gave you something to root for, as opposed, it's basically the same story just told in a different way, because he's still got this revenge thing. He's still trying to get weapons. He's still trying to get back at Wakanda. He's still trying to kill people in Wakanda and do this thing. It's just in a different way. So it's not like the what if is telling you like what happens if there's a character change with him. If he would have actually been more heroic and what didn't go back to being evil like we did see, it was just, you know, it went from point A to point, you know, Z, but in a different way. It was just weird that way.
That's a good point. I also think the other side of this, and I think this is how they advertised it, I was going into this episode expecting it to be more about the effect of not having Tony Stark as Iron Man.
How so?
I didn't think it was going to be, I didn't think Killmonger was necessarily good. The Killmonger story was going to be the focus of the story. I thought it was, okay, Killmonger saves Tony. And how does that change? How drastically does that cause a change of him not being Iron Man for other aspects within the MCU? Not this all focus on Killmonger aspect that it was.
I get that. Okay.
I think the aspect of it was that because we kind of went through that, like you just said, we went through the Killmonger story in Black Panther, And I just didn't expect this. I expected it to be more of a Tony Stark Iron Man episode than I expected it to be a Killmonger episode.
I see what you mean. Yeah, no, I think that would have been more interesting as well. I think them trying to make Killmonger basically the same character, just going about it, his revenge plot in a different way. I think that them killing off Tony Stark wasn't a good way to go with this. And I got to be honest with you. Even though I had to rewatch it again just so I could do this podcast, I really didn't want to watch it again. I was kind of one and done with this one.
And the other thing is, too, and again, I think that, again, you know, Michael B. Jordan back doing the voice, you know, great. He was great, but it just didn't click. And there was one other reason why it didn't click, but I want to get into that as we talk about the actors themselves in the next phase.
Well, let's go ahead and get into that. That's the next part of this here. Let's talk about the actors. So we had Jeffrey Wright, of course, back as the Watcher. Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger. Jon Favreau as Happy Hogan. Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa / Black Panther. Angela Bassett as Queen Ramonda. Denai Gurria returns as Okoye. Andy Serkis returns as Ulysses Klaue. Don Cheadle as Rhodey. Paul Bettany as Jarvis. Leslie Bibb returns as Christine Everhart. John Connie as T'Chaka. Was he the one that was the actor in that movie? I don't remember.
I am trying to recall myself. I believe he was. Yes, he was.
Okay. All right, cool. Because he definitely sounded like it. We had Beth Hoyt as Pepper Potts. Kiff Vanderhoevel as Obadiah Stane. As we mentioned before, Mick Wingert as Tony Stark. Mike McGill as General Ross. And Ozioma at Kaga as Shuri, not the actress that played Shuri. They had someone else because the reason I was kind of doing some research on that was that because Shuri is younger during this time, so he needs a younger sounding person, which doesn't make sense to me. They could have gotten the actress to do this same voice, so I don't know.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's hit on a couple of things. Even though we have a lot of people from the MCU returning as voices, I think this is the first episode where not having certain people be voices really affected this. Obviously, we talked about the Iron Man thing.
I got to tell you, Pepper Potts, not having Gwyneth Paltrow as Pepper Potts, I think hurt it as well. Yeah. I just wasn't buying Beth Hoyt's performance.
Having the younger Shuri, really, I understand why, but it still threw me off. Shuri looking like she was 12, really just...
Yeah, but she was younger during this timeline.
So I know, and sense. I understand. It makes sense, but it still feels off. It just made me feel... Here's this 12-year-old... basically doing this. But yeah, I mean, and even when you, it felt like, I mean, it really felt like Michael B. Jordan was it. Chadwick, they killed T'Challa very early in this episode. Angela Bassett has a few good moments. Diana Guerrero has a couple of moments. Andy Serkis is good in this. Don Cheadle actually isn't too bad in this, but it just, nobody got a moment to shine. You know, it was all Michael B. Jordan here. And I love Michael B. Jordan, but I just.
Yeah, the voices were just weird. And just back to the story, it's like these last several episodes are all about our heroes dying or becoming zombies. And it's like, instead of just killing them off, get creative, do something different with their character. Like, it would have been nice if Tony was still alive and, you know, doing Tony Stark stuff and then maybe battling and doing that instead. I don't know. Battling a warmonger. I don't know. But the voices and the actors, there's several more misses with this. Personally, it's great to have a lot of the actors come back, especially Angela Bassett. It was nice to hear her do that. But I don't know. There were some hits there, obviously, with the cast.
I'm going to be honest with you. To me, this is the first episode of What If that really missed the mark. I think they took the story in the wrong direction. And I just think, you know, and it's not any offense to Michael B. Jordan or the Killmonger character. I just felt like that story got told in the MCU. And it was not something I felt like I needed to revisit. Now, yeah. I have some wonderings about Killmonger later on for what they might have, something they might do in the MCU. But That's just because, and again, I think it's because of how they have to handle certain things with Wakanda now, but we'll get to that another time. But yeah, this episode just didn't hit for me. It didn't feel right. And I've at least had strong thoughts about every other episode of What If, whether I enjoyed it or not. I felt like I had strong, and this did the worst thing of all, Kevin. It just made me go, meh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you there. I think the direction, the writing overall, I mean, I think they got the writing of Tony Stark's character. I think they got the writing of Killmonger as well. I just wish really take the chance, and they should have switched up the story instead of just, like I said before a few times already, have Killmonger pretty much on the same mission, just doing it differently. You know, this is where your chance is to change these characters into something else and have a different agenda, a different something, you know?
We talked about this a little bit in the first episode, but I think it worked because they were so confined to following the same storyline of the film, but it worked because you had...
We're talking agent. About what if Captain Carter took the serum, yeah.
Yeah, because you still had the interest of Haley Atwell and Agent Carter aspect of it. So there was a change there. Here it just felt like, okay, yeah, we're just taking a different angle to get to the same conclusion.
Exactly. So let's get into phase two. And this time it'll be, instead of trivial, it will be an episode review. And I always like to go over to Den of Geek because they have great reviewers there. And they have this one, What If Episode 6 Review, Killmonger to the Rescue in Marvel's What If Eric Killmonger Joined the Greater Marvel Cinematic Universe by Becoming Tony Stark's Savior. And this is done by Gavin Jesper. And a couple things I picked from this was the voice cast, as always. They mentioned the actors and stuff like that. And then he goes into replacing the original actors. And he mentions, of course, Mick Wingert as Tony Stark and the people that we've mentioned. And he goes, I mean, I guess Don Cheadle as James Rhodes also sort of counts here, but that's just splitting hairs. And he asked, what's different? Military career of Navy Eric Seal Stevens, codename Killmonger, brings him to infiltrating the Ten Rings and uncovering a plan to capture Tony Stark. See, that right there, Kyle, if they actually showed that mm-hmm. would have been more interesting.
Yeah.
And it's weird that he is supposed to be part of the military and he stays in the military. You think there would be a military code instead of he's still trying to get back at Wakanda?
Yeah.
You know, I that's just another thing that throws me off. I would rather have him shown that part of the story and then have that affect his character in a different way towards the end of the episode. Then he goes on, the river goes on to say, how does this work out? And very open-ended, but it's a dour situation. King T'Challa makes Killmonger the new Black Panther. It's only a matter of time before Killmonger betrays his uncle and gets his long-awaited revenge, showing that even in this reality, Tony Stark inadvertently sets things into motion for T'Chaka getting assassinated. T'Challa confronts Killmonger in the Panther spirit realm and warns him that of his actions will have dire consequences. Meanwhile, Shuri is not fooled by Killmonger's charms and works with Pepper Potts in hoping to expose Killmonger and prevent the war from escalating.
Can I jump in here real quick?
Because please do
a couple of points. T'Chaka would have never been that foolish about this. I'm sorry. He killed his brother, and all of a sudden now here's his nephew. And I mean, I get maybe there's some guilt there or something, but I just don't think T'Chaka would have there's more going on. I think he would have been a little smarter than what he was. And again, let's go back to the open endingness of this. Even with every other episode of What If, which leaves things open for thoughts of where the rest of the story is.
Keep in mind, Kyle, that's one of the questions we have in phase three.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Don't step on that just yet. Okay.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
But I just want to say, I think the open ending of this is still one of the things that's really throwing me off.
We'll discuss that. So some standout moments that reviewer brings up is Stark looking over Killmonger's schematics for his drone idea, which look very Gundam-like. Killmonger sheepishly admits that he likes anime, which is a subtle in-universe way for the character to admit that his blue armored uniform is absolutely him trying to steal Vegeta's look. Who's Vegeta? No, is that
Vegeta? It's a Vegeta. Dragon Ball Z reference.
Okay, gotcha. I didn't watch the show, so I don't know. So the press conference is increasingly satisfying, just at the sense that Killmonger shuts down Stain's schemes and is able to stop him. Happy punching Stain out cold is the icing on the cake and makes me think about how the plot of Iron Man is incredibly obvious for those who speak Urdu, as the Ten Ring terrorists straight up tell the viewer that Obadiah Stain is behind the kidnapping. And speaking of the Ten Rings, their involvement certainly feels like it has more weight to it after Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. How fitting that Killmonger would make such a strong foil to the Ten Rings leader, Wenwu, who is also obsessed with a secret and fantastic utopian society that considers him an outsider despite a familial connection. We get Chadwick Boseman's performance, our third in this, of course, with the first being the Star-Lord episode. And also, for someone who is the key to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Iron Man has not been doing so good on this show. We brought that up. He's made three appearances so far, and he's died each time. This comic version of What If, the comic version of What If was never too kind to the likes of Magneto, Loki, Kingpin, or Beast, but now it looks like Stark is their television counterpart. I think there's supposed to be an episode coming about him ending up on Sakaar. So let's hope he does better that time around. Dude, he's totally right. Why are they doing this to Tony Stark? Why is he getting the crap here? What's going on, man?
Because I think he is the most beloved character from the MCU, so they're kind of making him take all the pot shots. And come on, let's be honest with you. There's a lot of times where Tony is his own worst enemy.
How'd they give him cancer and have him like a dramatic role, you know, do something?
Well, if they're going to send him to Sakaar in an episode, that could be fun. I'm curious.
What was Sakaar again?
Sakaar was, you saw the anime, but you watched the animated Planet Hulk, did you not?
No, not yet.
Okay, that's the planet. That's the planet the Hulk gets sent to in Planet
Hulk. Oh, was that the one that was in Thor Ragnarok?
Kind of, yeah, they mention it a little bit. That was kind
of. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Well, that is the review. Any thoughts on this review before we take our break and head into the next phase?
I think he hit it right on the head. And one of the things that he hit on that was something I didn't register it until I read this in one of the notes before the show. Kind of the arc of Chadwick Boseman through What If so far. We have the celebration of his life, what happened and his comments in the zombie episode, and then seeing him in the casket here and then in the spirit world. I really find that quite intriguing considering they didn't know what was his condition actually was when he was doing this.
I'm glad you brought that up. So we know obviously he was starting or if not already having struggles with his cancer.
I got to think by the time he was recording these episodes, he was not in good shape.
I was going to say in this episode, when he's talking with him in that afterworld realm, did it kind of feel like he didn't sound like he normally would sound?
Well, I mean, when we think about it, the last
time he sounded either ill. I don't know if he was acting it up because his character had been killed and he was in the spirit realm, but he didn't sound like that normal, confident T'Challa Black Panther thing. Is it just me?
I've noticed that from a couple other people as well who have said that. I think he probably did a lot of this recording about the time he was doing the press for 21 Bridges, and that's when people were starting to go, what's going on with Chadwick Boseman? And he said, oh, it's for a role, it's for a role, it's for a role.
Right.
And people just kind of believed him because, you know, why not? We've seen Tom Hanks do this kind of thing multiple times, and I still love that movie, by the way. Yeah, so I think we obviously, you know, I think he recorded this episode closer to the end. And
yeah.
So.
All right, well, we're going to take a break from our True Believers Marvel MCU discussion and let you know what other great podcasts are here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to these other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, discussing the latest in entertainment pop culture. Blood of Kings, Immortals Take Notice, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theaters, where we celebrate our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie and TV pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville show. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our show covering the time-traveling Doctor Who universe with host Dan Hadley. Lethal Mullet, an 80s and 90s action film podcast with host Adam P. O'Brien. Also check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast with hosts Scott, Derek, and Nathan. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, a deep dive into the final frontier with hosts Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. And check out our newest shows, The Fandom Show, our monthly Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube exclusive show about the month's hottest topics in fandom, and the FPN True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the related Marvel television and streaming MCU universe, including the connections to the original Marvel comics. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on several platforms. Please subscribe to the Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel to receive notifications of new podcast episodes and live events. You can enjoy all of the Fandom Podcast Network audio podcasts on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and iTunes. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
All right, welcome back to Marvel MCU Podcast, our True Believers show. What if Killmonger rescued Tony Stark? Episode 6. We're diving in to phase 3, our plot analysis, deep discussion, any ties to the MCU and comics. So does this, Kyle, what if episode, does it have any similarities to any other Marvel what if comic books that you can think of? Even if it was other characters, not necessarily Killmonger and Tony Stark.
The closest thing I can remember is I think there was a what if of like, what if Tony Stark had been rescued and not. And you got to remember, in the original comics, it was like Vietnam or the Korean War where Tony Stark gets. Okay. So, but I think there was episodes where like Rhodey finds him and rescues him.
Okay.
And so he has the heart surgery. So he eventually still becomes Iron Man, but it's under different circumstances and weird things happen. So there's been at least a one what if that's like that. But really, I mean, truthfully, this is pretty original for, again, that aspect was, again, that focused on Tony and his journey as Iron Man, not Killmonger in this. I think because of the focus of this episode, it's hard to compare it to anything in the comics.
Before I ask this next question, Kyle, what in the comics, if any, did Killmonger have?
Killmonger,
what kind of exploits?
Killmonger was always a rival to Black Panther. Eventually, he actually has died and come back from the dead before in the comics. The last I understood, he was actually now part of Wakanda, kind of being accepted in. He's part of like the War Council of Wakanda. He's kind of reformed a little bit, but he's still kind of
riding
that line. See,
that would have been, that right there would have been more interesting than what happened here, because it brings up my next question to you, Kyle. Why Killmonger in this? Why not someone else? Obviously, Michael B. Jordan was great as that character. Gets killed off, right? Is that what happened?
He died at the end of Black Panther.
Okay, so he dies. So why bring back that character? Why him? Why couldn't it have been someone else?
Because I think in the MCU, his character actually showing up to save Tony Stark makes sense in some ways. Because him being in the military, even if he would have been a mercenary or something at that point. Again, it was more of the decision of why did you take this in the Black Panther direction and not an Iron Man direction? And I think that's what it boils down to for this episode. And there's a couple of choices they made where I really think because of how they open-ended this, and I know we're going to talk about, but how they open-ended this, if they make one small choice, this episode actually gets redeemed quite a bit.
Which is?
I think if they have it where like Tony's in a coma after being attacked by a Killmonger instead of just killed, and like at the end of the episode, he like wakes up with an arc reactor in him. Or, you know, I really thought that's where they were going, was like he's getting stabbed.
His wound that he got looks like he got hit in the shoulder. It didn't look fatal. I didn't
understand. Yeah, that's why I was kind of mixed weird on that. But
I would like that ending better. That's a good idea.
You know, so let's get into this, because I know one of the shout out standouts. I mean, Michael B. Jordan is phenomenal in this episode. I'm not going to take away from him on that. I like some of the ideas as far as creating like the drone army, kind of pull a little steel from your boy Justin Hammer there, Kevin.
Exactly. I did think of that at the time with Iron Man 2 kind of similarities there.
So, but I mean, they're just, like I said, this episode made me go meh. And I just think it was the decisions they made with this episode. But one of the things I was talking about a little earlier, and I'm going to talk about it again now. This was the most open-ended episode of What If, of all the What Ifs. Because I look at like the Agent Carter story or the T'Challa Star-Lord story, even though that was, there's could be more stories to be told with those characters. It felt like you got a story in that. You got a complete story in that. Like, okay, there's other tales that we could have told, but you got that complete story. Even with the zombies episode with them heading to Wakanda and you see Thanos, you kind of have a pretty good, the way the Watcher speaks, you have a pretty good idea this is not going to end well. Because he says the line, to save the Earth, they're going to destroy the universe. So you kind of figure out there, the Strange episode gives you a complete ending. What if the Avengers Had Fallen episode, I think gives you an open-ended ending, but you can kind of, it still tells that within that story. This doesn't even finish its own story. This episode does not finish its own story. It started.
Yeah, that's a good point. You felt kind of, huh? You know, I mean, like, we should have come back to more of something. It just, yeah, you know, and we'll get our speculation on where does the sequel of this episode go from in a minute here. But yeah, you're right. It felt not necessarily wanting more, but just wanting to figure out where it was trying to go, I guess. That's the only thing I could think of. But back to standouts and shoutouts, I did like the whole press conference scene. I thought that was entertaining. And this is when the episode was still interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it was still because he was good. You know, he wasn't what you were expecting him to be, but then we find out, you know, okay, he's still evil, blah, blah, blah. And that's where I think they should have taken a turn. This was entertaining, this first quarter of the episode where he saves Tony. He's been in the service. He's been undercover trying to do something. It's like, what? First of all, if you're evil and you're doing a thing, why don't you just join up with the Ten Rings and you use whatever they want? But I guess he wanted Tony Stark tech. Well, I guess
my guess is that the plot is manipulate Tony Stark to give me because he's the only one who can make tech that can get me into Wakanda.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true. But other than that, you know, I think I need to add a new section to like opposite of shout outs and standouts. Maybe we should just call it the Killmonger episode effect. I don't know. But
it was meh. And there's too many things that just took you out of the episode. You couldn't get into a rhythm of the episode. There was nothing. There wasn't even any good laughs. I mean, most, except for the Doctor Strange episode, every episode of What If has had at least a couple good laughs in it, or some moments that make you go, wow. And there was nothing in this.
Yeah. I was disappointed at the end of this.
Yeah.
I guess the reason why is when I first finished watching it, the first time I watched it, I immediately came up with all these other alternate stories and endings. I came up with my own what ifs that would have been better. You know, doing that. Yeah, do you find yourself doing that with these what ifs? Like your own what ifs, or some of these are like so satisfying, you know, you're like, I'm fine with their what ifs, but this one was not good. So I found myself with my own what ifs.
I think for the most part, most of the other what ifs, it's like, okay, how would they continue this story? That's where I see it, because I'm fine with the story they told. I loved Agent Carter, even though I felt like it got a little too much stuck following the movie. It still felt like, okay, we got a story. With T'Challa Star-Lord, we got that story, but there's more stories they could tell. This is the first one that I'm like, they just got the story all wrong from the get-go.
And I'm really getting tired of all the negativity. Everything's bummer now, you know? The T'Challa one was the best one because it ended more. It was more of a fun romp, a happy thing. I get what if it's easy to go down the dark hole, you know, because if you start taking people out of the picture, you're wondering where it could go. But I think they really need to exercise some fun here. This is the one thing that's really missing from these episodes. You know, stop giving me the killing everyone and taking people out thing. Have some fun with people. Have them change who they are in a positive way or a fun way or an adventurous way. I'm getting tired. This is getting depressing of seeing all these people that we like get killed in weird different ways just so other people can do something out of it. I'm getting tired of this, to be honest.
There's only been one true what if. I don't know. I think the first two what ifs were more positive, and ever since the third episode, we've been kind of going that. But even with I think when you look at the third episode, I was like, okay, they took an interesting angle with this. With the Doctor Strange episode, okay, you know what? Yes, it was really dark, but they took a bold choice with it, and they took a chance. I think the Zombies episode, even though it was zombies, they still had fun with it. You had the Spider-Man video. They had moments that made you laugh, levity.
Exactly. That was actually a well-balanced episode, I'll be honest with you.
This one just was – it was just – it just felt like, okay, we need to put an episode out. No idea what we're going to do. Let's do this and just see what happens here. Even What If had comedy comedy issues. They would do like little short stories with different like comedy aspects of it. So right. I'm hoping we could get some more.
That's what I want to see more of. You know,
I think I'm hoping maybe with the with the Thor one, or if there's one where Iron Man ends up on Sakaar, then yeah, we'll see what happens there. But you know, again, this episode, a few minor tweaks here and there. That's all it would have taken. Even if they wanted to stick with the Killmonger story, have it where you see Pepper open a door with Suri and there's Tony Stark laying there. And like I said, maybe they're trying to figure out how to put the arc reactor in, or Pepper opens it up and there's the Iron Man suit. Something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Something okay. Other than just, oh, let's put it in the media and let's go from there. And then end of episode. And you're like, yeah, what the heck?
Let's just kill off everyone again. So the question begs, where does the sequel of this episode go from here? Do you care?
At this point, I think it's going to – I'm going to be honest with you. I think we're going to get a – if there's a second season of What If, we will get a sequel to this episode. This episode just feels like they didn't tell the story they wanted it. They get to tell us all the story they wanted to tell. Of all the What Ifs, this one honestly feels like the one that they could come back to the easiest. Because it's left so open-ended. Obviously, I don't see them going back to T'Challa as Star-Lord, because I don't think they're going to do T'Challa without Chadwick. I know I've seen some people online saying, just even a different voice actor, and I just don't think Marvel and Kevin Feige is going to allow for that. I think you could get more Agent Carter stories. I think you could get more Marvel zombie stories. But this one of all of them really feels like, if you're going to continue the actual story of what happened in What If episode, it's going to be this episode.
Yeah, I'm just not inspired to even can give a guess on where this episode might go, because it's just the same story gone in a different way. I mean, if I had to, I would love to see Shuri and Pepper work together. I think that is one thing that would be highlighted in a sequel episode to this. The Shuri character just fascinates me, and she's wonderful. And I got the writing for this character in this episode reflected Shuri. And even though we had a different voice actress, I thought she was good enough for it, you know? So I'm going to give that episode that props there. You know, and maybe work with Rhodey.
Rhodey's dead.
Oh, that's right. Rhodey is dead. I forgot.
That's one of the problems, though. You've killed T'Challa. You've killed Rhodey. You've killed Tony Stark.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have really characters to go to after this, but.
And you don't have the other Avengers to work to. I mean, I guess that where Nick Fury comes in? I guess. Yeah. I don't know. You know,
I'm going to say this going forward. No offense to Mick Wingert. I'm sure he's a very good voice actor, but he's not Tony Stark.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. That might be the number one reason I had such a problem with this episode. Is it just like
it wasn't my number one reason, but it was definitely one of them. So yeah.
So
let's get into phase four. Our final thoughts here and close out, Kyle. I think we're pretty much on the same plane about this. I really hope they start to lighten things up here, dude. I'm getting tired of this.
We only have a few episodes left. I think it's either 9 or 10. So I'm going to,
if they're going to be like this What If series is not going to be one of my favorites that I return to. I'll be honest with you right now.
Okay. So right now let's talk about this as our final thoughts. Cause we kind of talked about this a little off mic, cause people are starting to have reactions to What If as a whole. And we're seeing a lot of people are particularly have an episode they like or something.
Kind of jumping ship, right? Because it feels like we're finally, I'll be honest with you, it feels like we're finding a Marvel MCU project that's finally starting to miss big time.
I don't want to say it's missing big time, because I don't think you can judge this by hit or misses per se, because I think.
Oh, I can definitely, because it falls on the reason why the MCU is a hit
And the reason why we love talking about it is because of the rewatchability of the MCU, dude. Okay. That is the huge in reason why we do these reasons. It's the reason why we're doing the chronological rewatch. That's how you judge these movies. Because for me, all of these movies are rewatchable for several reasons. This is the first series where I can honestly say, and maybe some episodes of Loki, or I can go, I'm not going to watch this.
Well, right now I can count. I would say there's two episodes of this What If run that aren't going to be high on my rewatchable. The one we just watched and the Doctor Strange episode.
Oh God. Yes. Definitely Doctor Strange. One.
Yeah. And again, I think the Doctor Strange one was very bold, and I think there's a lot of emotional things to go with there. It's just, I don't want to be that depressed. I love the zombies episode. That was a lot of fun. I love the Agent Carter episode. I obviously loved the T'Challa Star Wars episode. I'm kind of on the Avengers. What if the Avengers fell thing? But I could rewatch that again. But this one is, I would rewatch the Doctor Strange episode before I would rewatch this episode.
Yeah, not me. I'm out on this one already. I'm not gonna watch it again.
Well, no, I'm just saying if I'm gonna talk about it as a whole, this is the last one I would rewatch. I would choose.
I understand. Yeah, in your grading thus far. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. This one. Yeah, I don't know. This one just kind of felt like a job.
You know, yeah. Yeah. It really did. Again, I think this is kind of what we're seeing, especially with this episode. This is What If. Even in the comics, there's some what ifs that just people will rave about for forever. And there's some what ifs that's like, okay, yeah, that just didn't work. Sorry, guys. What if is a bit of an experimental ground. So I'm curious to see. I think this is where we're at a point, though. Marvel needs to announce what the rest of the episodes are. I think that's one of the things that's kind of
why. Hurt. Why?
Because I think they need to grab people with it. I think by knowing what the what ifs are, people will generate. So I think the mystery of what the next what if episode has not been something we obviously knew. Agent Carter.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, give us something to be excited about going into it.
Yeah,
because when you're left with an episode like this, and we're not liking it. And you're not getting us excited about the next one. I see your point completely.
Yeah, I think that's Marvel's kind of dropped the ball here a little bit on this in the marketing aspect of this. So, but you know, it is what it is, and we're gonna ride it through. I'm not gonna say I've hated What If because I haven't. I just think it's had some bumps in the road. And come on, if Marvel's batting average is still 900 out of 1,000, they're doing better than everybody else right now.
This is true. Yeah.
So
I expect better because it is Marvel MCU. So,
I think that's where you've hurt yourself too. I think it's like, you know, everything always seems to hit or at least be entertaining. And when you have a few that get off, then it's like, okay, what's wrong here? And I don't think we need to panic. I think What If was always kind of a bit of an experiment. So I didn't know what to expect going into What If. And when I can say that of the six episodes, at least four of them are ones I would be willing to rewatch, considering what I thought What If was going to be going in, I'm happy with that. I'm not going to say it's outstanding, but I'm going to say I'm happy with that. And that's doing better than what I thought it was going to do, especially for an animated series.
Close this out, Kyle.
Well, if you are looking for True Believers, of course, it all starts at the Fandom Podcast Network homepage and master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Please go there. We have all of our wonderful shows there, including True Believers. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can find all of our great shows, and we will be getting some things going there live hopefully soon, but we can all find all of our great podcasts on our YouTube channel. Visit our True Believers Facebook page. Again, we try to keep you updated on all the going-ons in the MCU. And, of course, the Fandom Podcast Network Facebook page where we keep you updated on everything that's going on in fandom. And it's been getting busy in fandom again of late, Mr. Reitzel.
Yes, it has been. Things are ramping up.
Yep. Also, too, if you want to contact us, you can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network or on Twitter at FanPod Network. Of course, I'm Kyle. You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you within the sacred timeline?
Find me, of course, on that True Believers Facebook page. I'm posting a bunch of stuff on there myself and having fun with that. You can contact me directly through Instagram and Twitter at Spartan_Phoenix.
And of course, there's a couple great ways to support True Believers and the Fandom Podcast Network. First and foremost, TeePublic, our TeePublic store, where you can find the gear of all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network, including now True Believers gear is finally there. Get your True Believers shirt, get your hoodie, get your mug, get your phone cases. It's all there. Go to teepublic.com, search for the Fandom Podcast Network or the title of your favorite Fandom Podcast Network show. And of course, we love reviews as well, especially on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. We love those 5-star reviews, but we love the reviews in general because, as always, we want to improve and we want to make better podcasts to feed your ears. Now, Kevin, before I get out of here, just for getting through this episode, I am awarding you 3 Excelsior points this week. And because of the way this episode went, I'm going to give you the bank option. Do you want to bank those and add them in with whatever we got coming up next, or do you?
Yeah, I want to bank them. I want to see what happens next time. So
okay,
that's cool. Thank you, by the way, 3 points. That's a lot for this because there wasn't much to get out of this. So thank you. That was very generous.
I think it was just showing you some kindness for going through the episode twice.
So next episode, I got no idea, and I like your idea, Kyle. I think these episodes will be fun. Like, I think it'd be great is if they would tease the next episode as the stinger, so you have to watch for the credits just like the movies. That would have been great if they would have done that. I can't tell you what the next episode is. When you look on IMDb, they kind of show you what the episodes are. They kind of tease some images, but I still don't know. So we'll come back. Let's hope it's better. Let's hope it's happier, more uplifting, and let's hope the Avengers don't get killed again.
Well, you know, the Watcher is always watching. He'll tell us. But and I just, if nothing else, too, we didn't mention it before. Shout out to Jeffrey Wright. He's phenomenal in every one of these episodes. So
he is, but I would like to see him get more involved.
He's a watcher. They just watch, man.
I don't like that. I want them to break the rules like they do in Highlander.
You're just waiting for the watcher named Dawson to show up, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, there we go.
Highlander TV show reference, guys.
Yeah. Go listen to Blood of Kings. With that, as always, all you great MCU fans and Fandom Podcast Network listeners, we like to tell you, Excelsior. And until next time, make ours Marvel.